Questions 39 through 42 refer to the following talk about video rentals.
Like most other businesses, home video consists of three segments. They are first, production, second, distribution, and finally, retail. When companies produce pre-recorded cassettes and DVDs, that's production. Most of the home video market consists of sales of movies, and almost all motion picture studios dominate the production of cassettes and DVDs. Just as an example, 2/3 of video cassette and DVD sales come from the 10 largest studios, and 20th Century Fox and Columbia occupy the first and the second place. Studios do not sell directly to retailers. Distributors do. And more than 90 distribution firms in the U.S. have become the bridge between production and retail. Cassette and DVD distributors make it easy for retail stores to become a video rental outlet. These days, more than 60,000 convenience stores rent videos. And that's in addition to the 30,000 video rental stores. The retail business is volatile, and it's very competitive. A retail store can carry about 5,000 to 7,000 movies, which include current and old titles. On the other hand, convenience and grocery stores usually have about 300 to 500 titles that are current pictures. The video rental business these days is almost like fast food restaurants, and a store covers a certain area of about 3 miles in each direction. Independently owned stores have a tough time competing with large chains that dominate the business. The largest one has about 2,700 franchises, and the second largest about 800.
Question number 39. What is the main topic of this talk? Question number 40. Approximately how many retail outlets rent videos? Question number 41. What does a speaker say about the video rental business? Question number 42. Who dominates the video rental business? Questions 43 through 46 refer to the following talk about recycling.
Iron and aluminum represent 94% of all metal use. Recycling items that contain these metals extends the supply of mineral resources because it reduces the use of virgin materials mined from the Earth's crust. Using recycled iron, or scrap iron as it is also called, not only conserves iron ore and coal, but it also requires 65% less energy and 42% less water to process. In addition, recycling produces 85% less air pollution. It is somewhat surprising that only about 1/4 of all iron and aluminum used in the world today comes from recycling efforts. For example, beverage cans are one of the largest sources of recycled aluminum, but almost half of all cans produced each year are thrown away. There are several factors that negatively affect metal recycling in the U.S. The fact that the U.S. metal industry has not modified its equipment to process recycled metals is one of them. Another is that most Americans have a throwaway mentality. They have been conditioned to throw things away. Manufacturers promote this lifestyle through advertising because it increases short-term consumption, but they neglect to take into account the long-term environmental costs. Consumers pay for these costs in the form of taxes and have no easily identifiable reason to recycle. American consumers often think that returning beverage cans is too much trouble. They would rather toss them away and have someone else deal with them. Merchants don't like having returned metal cans in their stores. Labor unions worry that workers in the can manufacturing industry will lose their jobs. A national law requiring the return of beverage cans would reduce the processing of virgin aluminum ore by 55% to 75%. Urban solid waste would also fall by 1% and save taxpayers $25 to $50 million a year.
Question number 43. Why is the recycling of metals desirable? Question number 44. What is the proportion of iron and aluminum that comes from recycling? Question number 45. According to the speaker, why do American consumers often fail to recycle? Question number 46. What does a speaker say about merchants' attitudes toward recycling beverage containers? Question 47 through 50 referred to the following talk about roses.
There is little doubt that roses are one of the most preferred and best-loved flowers in almost all climate zones. Most lose their leaves in the fall, but some can be evergreen in very mild climates. Centuries of cultivation have created an amazing array of flowers of every form and color. The smallest are a foot high, with flowers as small as a thumbnail. The largest bloom with flowers as big as a salad plate. Red, pink, and white are the traditional colors, but orange, yellow, black, and purple also can be found in the gardens of devoted growers. Growing these shrubs is not complicated if their type and variety are suitable for the climate zone. Each year, the American Rose Society publishes ratings of roses on the scale from 1 to 10, and the higher the rating, the better the rose. The highest-rated roses grow in most climates, but those with low ratings do well only in certain regions of the country. In areas with cool summers, roses with a great number of petals should be avoided, because they often fail to open. Also, dark-colored roses don't do well because they do not develop their full color. In hot summer areas, roses can grow in any garden, but their flowers open soon after they bud, and the color of their petals fades quickly. Roses bloom best during the spring and fall, and flower production falls during intensely hot summers. In areas with cold winters, some of the marketed roses are not hardy enough, and special protection is needed to assure that they survive from winter to winter. To determine which roses are best suited for a particular climate, a novice gardener may want to take a trip to a municipal garden or an established private rose garden. Obviously, the varieties of shrubs found there will perform well in that climate zone.
Question number 47. What is the main topic of this talk? Question number 48. How does the American Rose Society rate roses? Question number 49. What does a speaker say about growing roses in very hot climates? Question number 50. What does a rose gardener need to do in climates with cold winters? Stop working on section 1.